challenge. It was a great thing. And I just, on behalf of Margo and I, would just want to thank you so much for your kind gift and stuff. And it was so much better than being committed, which was the other choice. It was like, send him on vacation or commit him to getting some help. So how many of you think cruise therapy is a way to go, right? I don't know if you noticed, I want to just highlight a couple things that were on the announcement reel. First of all, on Wednesday, we're going to move the Ave back to Wednesday nights. Okay, so starting this week, it's kind of a quick move, but we're going to go ahead and do that. So we'll be a part of the community night, and so it'll be great. What it is, youth, the adults have been missing you. And so they want to see you around, and so it's just going to be a better thing. So plan on that. That's this week, and it's kind of a quick change. But we're a small group. We're small and nimble, so we can move quickly, right? So with that in mind, there's another thing that wasn't on the announcement reel. It's on the back of your bulletins. This Saturday is going to be a ladies' time at breakfast and get together at Indira's home. Is that at 10? So it's at 10 o'clock, so we're looking forward to that. Please make sure that you're a part of it. They're bringing in a world-famous speaker. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but she's world-renowned. So any guesses? Any guesses? No, it's not Margo. No, so she's world-renowned too. But anyway, no, it's not Lindsay either, so keep guessing or just show up. I'm not going to let you know. So it's going to be a great time, and so be a part of that. Also, when we come towards Thanksgiving, we love to help people out. And so if there's somebody that you know of that could use a Thanksgiving basket, let us know by filling out the offering, put it on the little tear off and drop it in the offering bag. Say, here's a family that just would be blessed by this, and we'll assemble it. If you would like to be a part of helping bless another family, either financially or perhaps you want to come and help us assemble these baskets and get them ready, let us know also by the tear off on the sheet. It'll be great. So if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being here. I know Cassie's here. Everybody shake hands, wave at Cassie. We'll just embarrass her just a little bit. She's a smart cookie. She's going to Broward College and studying nursing. So right over here, the wave. My neighbor here, you got to see. She doesn't know who I'm talking. You got to wave. Wave. Mary, wave to her. Mary is like a cardiac nurse at Cleveland. She's smart. She's good. So she's got connections too. So might get to know her. Anyway, so welcome to all of you. If you're a guest with us, please take the offering or the bulletin and fill it out and drop it in the offering plate in a couple minutes when it comes around. It'll be great. And kids, come on up here. Woo! Gonna pray with you. Send you off to Kids Boulevard. Now, I got to let you know, just kind of, you'll see in the bulletin that after church is over, there's 15 minutes until they start throwing you guys out into the street. So you're like, so what? Sounds like fun to me. So your parents will need to pick you up there. We do have some hospitality that's going to be set up there as well. So we want to encourage you to help us by not putting a strain on the kids, on the teachers up there. They love you, but they have other people they got to go love, right? You ready? You ready? All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for these kids. Lord, I pray your blessing on them. Help them to have a great time at Kids Boulevard, and that you'll just speak to their hearts. Help them to have fun. And Lord, help the Word of God to become a part of their life that'll change them from now into eternity. We pray this in your name. Amen.
So be it.
Great job, great job. You can follow Miss Lindsay right back there. So found out that actually Lindsay and Ben, Lindsay's going to have the baby on my birthday. So, what's that? That's what the doc said. So they're going to do a C-section. So it's scheduled for March 28th. That's a good. If you're going to be a grandpa, do it on your birthday, right? So, and maybe it'll take away a little bit of the pain of turning 49. So, but it's going to be great. They find out tomorrow if it's going to be a boy or a girl. So, Margo's still praying for twins. Ben, what do you think? Are you up for twins? No. So, but we're going to find out. This, Lindsay said this is the first time that she's looking forward to Veterans Day, because they find out tomorrow. So we'll probably tweet it and let you know. And then this is what happens. They've got a shopping trip planned for right after the appointment tomorrow. So, Ben, are you ready for that? You know, we're finding out. This is just an excuse for him to go shopping, right? So, we're hoping for baby gear that's dressed out in camouflage. That's Ben's favorite color is camouflage. So, it's a great thing. We want to take up the morning tithe and offering. And thank you so much for your faithfulness and giving. And things are moving forward just as you're preparing. We did move forward a little bit. We are now hooked into, in the old building, we're hooked into city sewer. So that's a great thing. We have to fix the connection, but it is connected. It's just wrong. But it's flowing. It'll flow better if we do it right. So how many say we go back and do it right? So I got pictures when I was in Cozumel of how they had done it, and I was like, oh, this isn't going to pass. So anyway, we'll get it done. So we're moving forward a little bit at a time. So that's a step forward and breakthrough. And hopefully it'll be quick and soon so we can go to the bathroom down here, right? Amen with that. So, but thanks so much for your faithfulness and giving and just great things as we're moving forward. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you, God, that you do meet all our need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Help us to be found in you, Lord. Help us to find our pleasure and our joy by being a part of what you're doing. God, I pray your blessings on every person that's in this room, Lord, as we participate in giving, because you're a giving God. We want to participate in what you're doing. We pray, God, that your blessings would flow through us without any encumbrance, God, that as you bless us, we would be a blessing. Lord, as you bring us into your kingdom, Lord, that we would bring others into your kingdom. And Lord, we pray for that multiplication to happen by the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and bless your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh, well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Sometimes we say amen, sometimes we say oh me, right? You know, there's freedom in Christ. And Christ wants to give us the greatest freedom that we could ever imagine. That freedom comes by His grace. And His grace leads to freedom from worry and freedom from stress and freedom from guilt and freedom from shame. That freedom comes as we surrender our lives to Him. And then we gain His control. We gain His life working in and through us. And that's what we want to have happen in our lives. Amen? Last week we talked about how Jesus came to free us from sin and from this evil age. And today we want to kind of look on that a little bit more. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to end up back in Galatians as we continue on this freeway series. But I want you to take a look at this verse. It's the great exchange verse. It's a wonderful thing. It's one of the most rich books, parts that you can ever find. And it could be that we don't, if we're having troubles with the translation, we need to make sure that it's on up here. So I'm seeing some people work around. Is it coming through? Are you? It's not. So if you can help me out, Chrissy, we'll appreciate that. And here, this mic's going bad. Isn't it fun? Don't you just love technology? I love technology. I'm not even moving, so we're going to try it just a little bit more. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Last week, as I said, I shared the truth of God's wrath being poured out upon Jesus, and Jesus overcame sin. He forgives sin, and He cleanses us, purges us from all unrighteousness. And that's the good news. How many of you like good news? All right? When I found out I was going on a cruise, that was good news, right? We like good news. And sometimes, do you ever get good news and it's like, have troubles believing it? And one of the things that I've often wondered is, why is it that people struggle with hearing the gospel when it's good news that Jesus forgives our sins and He purges us from all unrighteousness? And today we're going to one up this as we talk about that freedom is even better, that justification that happens when Jesus impugns, He brings His righteousness upon our lives and forgives our sins. It's not only that. Everybody say, but wait, there's more. Yeah, it gets better. Not only does Jesus forgive us of our sin and take that sin away, but He takes His righteousness and He puts it in our account. It's not just Him canceling our debt, okay? He does that, but there's more, okay? If you were, put it this way, if you were overdrawn, nobody's ever been overdrawn, right, in their bank account? Praise God. And so if you're overdrawn, say you're overdrawn $1 million. That would be a bad day, right? So let's just say 1,000, okay? Maybe we can relate to that. You're overdrawn $1,000, and you're struggling with that. And it's like, okay, I need to be forgiven of this. I need some money to come from this another account, somebody else's account, and to be put in that. And if they brought $1,000 and you were back at zero, you'd say, hallelujah, right? But how would it be if they said, you know what, in my account, not only is there $1,000, but there's $1 million. And not only am I going to bring in $1,000 to cover your debt, but I'm going to take the riches that I have in my account and put them in your account. How many of you say that's a much better thing? And the thing is when we think of God's grace, many times the only part that we hear about is Him canceling our debt of sin. But God has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He takes His righteousness, all the right things that God is about and all the right things that Jesus is about and what He did, and He comes and He places them in our account. He places them to where we can draw upon His righteousness. Isn't that cool? Let me unpack that a little bit more. It's, you know, a lot of times we think about sin as all of the things that we shouldn't do. And it's like, okay, but when we get to that place, maybe we get to where God forgives us and we quit doing all the bad things. But what about doing the good things? In Acts it says that we've heard about Jesus. Acts chapter 10, it says, you've heard about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus, and he went about doing good and healing the sick and delivering people. Jesus did good. And so, don't you want to have the grace and the freedom to do good things, not just quit doing bad things? And so we think about, what are those good things? In fact, somebody came to Jesus one time and asked him, and says, tell me about the law. What's the most important things in the law? And Jesus narrowed it down, and it sounds so positive. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if you've done these things, it encompasses all the law. Those good things. And at first you hear that and you say, okay, cool. At least that's simple. That's straightforward. I got it. But then have you ever found that it's really hard to actually love God with all of your being? Do you ever find that it's like, man, how do I do that? How do I give God everything? Because within me, I still want to not do that. You know, I don't want to give God all my time. In fact, I'm not sure if I want to give him my best time. And your soul and your spirit and your strength begins to fight about. Any of you ever get really tired on Sunday mornings when you get up? Have you noticed that's the most tired you ever feel? Yeah. Have you noticed that? And it's like, but I know that I should go to church and I'm going to be refreshed. But everything in your natural self fights against you loving God with that Sunday morning. Have you noticed that? So wouldn't it be great if God would help you do the right things, do the good things, even loving God? Mike Bickle says this. He says it takes God to love God. I mean, I can't even love God unless by his grace he puts that in me. Certainly, and as you go on, and I don't know if it showed in Luke when it's talking about you say, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And it sounds simple and straightforward. As I said, the teacher of the law comes that place and he says this. He goes, okay, but who's my neighbor? All right, you see what's going on here? He's like, okay. Love God. Maybe he felt like he could do that. And he goes, love my neighbor. And he goes, okay, which neighbor? Right? I mean, I love simplifying life down to loving God and loving people. But then it's like, until I begin to think about some of the people. Chrissy knows what I'm talking about. She's laughing back there. You know, it's like, and this guy goes, okay, so who's my neighbor? And that's when Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan was the last person who should come and help this person who was robbed and left for dead. And Jesus said, okay, who is the neighbor? And it was the one that reached out. And Jesus says, so go and make neighbors of everybody. And go be Mr. Rogers. Would you be my neighbor? Yeah, and love God in that. But man, I need help with that. I need help with that. You know what I'm saying? I know I should do it, but in my account, in my tank, many times I don't know if I have enough in my tank to reach out and love somebody. Have you ever felt that way? But God, by his grace, through Jesus Christ, when it says back in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness. So his righteousness is impugned. His good is brought into our life to where it fills up our tank to where we are free to love other people. If you could love everybody, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't that be good news? Wouldn't it? I mean, if you wanted to. If you really wanted to. If when you saw somebody, you say, you just, compassion came in your heart, and you just thought, man, I just love them. You ever just look at somebody and say, man, I just love them. Right? Two or three people. You know, your kids when they're asleep. That time. You know, and you just, and wouldn't it be great if that attitude was in you with many more people? That's when you really get a hold of the grace and the gospel, that's what happens. Because what we begin to realize is Jesus, who knew no sin, Jesus, who is righteous, who only loved, he was killed because he loved. And when you look at Calvary and you see the extreme price that Jesus paid for us, you say, my goodness, how he loved. And when we begin to receive that for ourselves, then truly we can love others even as he loved. That's the grace of God. That's the miracle of God. That's putting us on the freedom. You see, that's the great exchange. That's the good news, where the gospel says that Jesus not only forgives us of our sins and purges us from all unrighteousness, but he also takes his righteousness and his love and puts it in our account to where we can be like he is. Now, Paul in the book of Galatians, after he talks about this and talks about the gospel, he then begins to say, but you're trading this gospel in for something else. You're trading the good news for something else. How did you receive? How do you receive the grace of Jesus Christ? It's free, right? You surrender your life. You say, Lord, I want that. And it's so good and it's so liberating. And many of us will say yes to God when it comes to him forgiving us of our sins. And we feel so clean. But then when we go on the next day, how do we live in that grace? And you know what we tend to do? We tend to take the gospel that saved us and exchange it with the law, or we exchange it with a system that we can control. So then we begin to live things out. And Paul comes at these Galatians and says, why are you trading the gospel, the good news, and going back under the way that it was foreign to you? These Galatians, they didn't understand the Jewish law. They were Gentiles. They were saved apart from the law. They were saved simply by grace, by believing in Jesus Christ and accepting them. And then some people infiltrated and began to say, no, if you're going to be a good Christian, then you need to do this. You need to follow the law. Anytime somebody comes to you and says, if you want to be a good Christian, understand that they're preaching a different gospel. Because the only way that you're a good Christian is if you're following Jesus. And if you're trading that in for anything else, and Paul says that's what's happened. You guys have began to trade this in. Look in Galatians 1, verse 6. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. You know, from that time on to today, people are promoting different gospels. In fact, Paul explains that he was once a champion of that system. He goes on in Galatians 1, 13 and 14, and I'm going to put it up in King James because I want you to see this one word that jumps out. He says, for you have heard of my conversion in the past time in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. The word I want you to look at is profited. Paul says this about himself. He says, when I was under that system, I was profiting by that system. He says, I had it under control. And in fact, when something threatened that, I went to waste it. Because if that freedom came, then I would not be able to profit from it like I had. And here's what happens. Whether it's by Judaism that tries to come back in and trying to put people back under the law or any other religious system. What happens is we as Christians tend to follow people who will come up with a system and they propagate it and they profit by it and they master that system and we fall prey to it and it takes us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are people that are profiting when Jesus already paid the price. Jesus already paid the price not only for us to be forgiven, but for us to live this righteous life. Think about how many times maybe you've even bought a book about somebody that says, this is how you can, I want to give you the how-tos of how you can achieve this. How you can get more of God. How you can, and all of these things, and all of these are systems. And you go and you say, okay, I'm going to check all of these boxes. And you know what you're doing? You're leaving the grace of God. Because Jesus Christ already came and checked the only box that matters for you. His grace is sufficient. Don't allow yourself to get under another gospel. Don't trade the gospel of Jesus Christ, this free gift of God that not only frees you of sin, but impugns righteousness into you. Don't trade that for somebody else's system, but rely and rest on the goodness and grace of God. So if it's such good news, why don't people say, I want to have that completely in my life? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, as a preacher of the gospel, it's like, why don't people like this? I mean, why do people fight against it? And you know who usually does? It's church people. You know, by and large, church people hate grace. I know that's a weird statement, but I mean, it scares them when you begin to say, you know what? If you give your life over to Jesus and He has control of your life, you can do whatever you want. There's a whole bunch. Sister Set Them Straight. You know, every church has a Sister Set Them Straight. She's in the back row going, oh, but who's going to tell them that they shouldn't do this and they should do this? And you try to go talk to Sister Set Them Straight and say, you know what? The Holy Spirit will. Well, how can we count on that? So why don't people like grace? You know why? Because to receive grace, to receive complete grace of God, you have to give up control. Right? And who likes to do that? What we do is when we're sinners and we're caught in sin, then it's like, okay, I give up. And so we're saved by grace. But then to live in grace, that next day, do we say, you know what? I'm going to give up control again. Paul said in Galatians, he says this. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life I live in the body, I do by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Verse 21 of Galatians 2. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So many times we have a tendency to set aside the grace of God and take control again. We say, I'm going to do this. Okay, how many of you are ready to take a risk with me in thinking something? Okay, I got four people. That's enough of you. Okay. It involves money. Okay? How many of you still are ready? I'm not taking... We already took up the offering. Okay? I want to talk to you about tithing and giving. Okay? There's a lot of talk whether or not tithing is a New Testament principle. And it is, but... What we tend to do, it's funny because we as Christians will say, we'll preach grace, grace, grace. And then when it comes to tithing, we want to go back and say, but let me tell you the law of sowing and reaping that you'll get through tithing. Okay? And so we begin to teach this, and we say, you know, and it does. And the Old Testament says, if you want to test God, God said, test and see, won't I pour out the rivers of, if you'll tithe, but instead you've been robbing God. Okay? So tithing and giving 10% to God so that God will bless you is a law. And if you follow that law, you will be blessed. Okay? But the law of grace brings more. Okay? The New Testament, you recognize that you've already given everything to God. And so instead of investing 10%, you're investing everything. And when you pay your tithe, when you give your tithe, it's just saying, okay, God, you've already given me all of this, so it's no big deal. So let me put it this way. If you're having troubles tithing, it's because you're living under the law. Okay? It's because, and I love this, you know, it's great. How many of you have tried tithing and say, man, it really works? Okay, I really don't know of somebody that has come to me and say, I tried tithing and it just doesn't work. It works. But sometimes what happens, I'll have people come to me and say, Pastor, I feel really bad, but I'm not going to be able to give my tithe because I lost my job. And I'll say, okay, so how much are you going to be making? And they'll say, well, nothing. Because I don't have a job. And I say, well, what's 10% of nothing? It's not. So, and have you ever like thought, okay, and this is another thing that happens. People will like have hard times. Anybody ever have hard times? And you go back and say, okay, now I just want to make sure that I've tithed right. Because maybe that's why I'm not being blessed. Have you ever done that? Do you see how you're going back under the law? You see that? It's like, okay, if I do this, then God's got to do this. And I'm going to tie him to that law. But how many would like abundance? Right? So, God, I give you everything. And the return on that. And so when it comes to those times that you're going through tough times, it's like, well, God, this is all yours anyway. What's going on? Does that make sense? And I want to come back to this different gospel. Do you know why so many people will preach the law of giving? It's because they'll turn around and profit by it. Because anytime I teach a system and I market a system, I can find somebody that will buy that book. Does that make sense? Now, I'm glad I already took up the offering, right? Is anybody wanting a refund? If you're wanting a refund, then it's because you're thinking law. If you're thinking grace, you're like, wow, man, maybe I could do more. I don't know. Because freely you've received, so freely give. There's abundance. When we count out, in fact, the time that Jesus talks about tithe, and so it is New Testament, he talks because the Pharisees are, they would go and they would measure out a tenth of even their spices and make sure that they were giving down to the letter. I mean, can you imagine, okay, there's 10 clove, what does clove come in, is it? Okay, they probably use garlic anyway. So there's 10 of these garlic things, and they measured them out and made sure that they gave one, what do you call the garlic? Those are cloves. Okay, so they gave 10. Obviously, I don't cook much. So I thought garlic just came already prepared in your food. So, but they would take, and they probably would even open the cloves to make sure that there were enough of the little, what do you call the things inside the cloves? They come in a pod, right? And then there's cloves inside. I'll just move on. Anyway, they would measure this all out. And Jesus said to them, he goes, look, you're grasping at this. You're going at all of these little things. And you're then talking about tithe. He goes, I want you to give. Don't neglect the former, but give. And if you're talking about measuring, you're basically missing the whole point. That's how he talked to him. And so we want to get to the place where we live under grace. But to receive all of that, we have to give up control. We have to say to the place, Jesus, I give you control. We were talking yesterday in men's meeting. Men's breakfast was awesome. Bill's a great cook. And he cooked, and I think it was one of the best men's breakfast I've ever been to. And we were talking just real heart to heart. And you know, sometimes us guys, we spend a lot of time trying to fix something, right? And we talked about this in our business and stuff, and I've got to figure this all out. And we were talking about how do you balance that when you're trying to fix everything. And what we tend to do is lose sleep and keep worrying about the problem and stuff like that. You know, what we need to realize is that if we're at that part, then probably we're trying to fix our business, and therein lies the problem. If it's God's business, you're going to give it over to Him. Jesus said this. He says, come unto me. In Matthew, he'll put it up. It says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of you have ever heard this said, life is hard, and then you die? Right? Okay, if that's the way you are feeling and living, then you're not living under grace. You're trying to control it all. How many of you say, Pastor, I think you might be preaching to yourself, buddy. Right? When life gets hard, it's a sign that you are trying to control it all. But he said, take my burden on you. My burden is easy and light. Cast all your cares on me. He says, because I care for you. But to do that, you have to give up control. Are we willing to give up control? Jesus can't carry your burden until you release control over to Him. And it takes an attitude of surrender. And often this surrender is a daily choice. We read how he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but yet Christ lives in me. Another place, Paul said this, he says, I die daily. So how do you live in grace? It's like when those things come, you say, God, you've got control. I give this to you. You take control. When your preschool child is going nuts again, and you're sure that they're demon-possessed, and you don't want to tell them that, but they're going crazy, what do? You say, God, this is your child. Right now, you're probably the only one that can love him. So I give control over to you. Right? You say that with your children when they're teenagers, when they're young adults. How many of you have an adult child and it's very, very hard, right? It's like, because you're not supposed to tell them anything. And once again, you have to give control over and say, you know what, Lord, I dedicated them to you a long time ago. And you live under the grace of that. And you live under the grace. The Holy Spirit's much better at His job than you are at His job. He can convict. He can bring people to it. You know, I almost hesitate to say this, but how many of you would agree with me that I've got some pretty awesome kids, right? It's great. They're all serving the Lord, pursuing what God has for them. And people might say, how do you do that? I have no idea. I just gave them to the Lord. And they have, in their own lives and own hearts, they've made decisions to follow Him. And they'll ask my advice from time to time, but really, the Holy Spirit came after them. And He's loved them and brought them into grace. And so they don't rebel against, they haven't rebelled against me because I'm not trying to control them. I'm trusting God. And that's very, very hard. Man, you have to die to that desire to make that child just right the way you think they should be. Now, am I saying there's no discipline? No, there's discipline. There's times I said, you're going to do this because you're my child. Why am I doing this? Because I said so. So, there are those times, and I understand that balance. But overall, that heart of a parent that wants to see their child become a grace-filled child, you have to trust the Holy Spirit. And you have to give up control. You might have a spouse that isn't following Christ. You have to give up control. You've probably figured this out already, but you can't save them. They have to know God themselves. And the great thing is the Holy Spirit loves your spouse more than you do. And He knows how to talk their language. Have you noticed that sometimes you can't even talk to your spouse in the way that they can understand? But the Holy Spirit can. And He will. But you may be in His way. For that grace to come, you might have to say, Lord, I give my spouse over to You. And I give You control. I surrender so that the grace of God might flow freely. I don't want to get into another system. I don't want to try to figure it all out and check all the boxes. I receive Your righteousness into this situation. The Bible says if we seek first His righteousness, then all these things will be added unto Him. Not seeking the way we think things should be done, but seeking His righteousness, not His system, but Him transferring His righteousness into our account. I can handle that. Amen? I can handle that. Now it sounds so simple. It sounds like good news, doesn't it? The question is, will you surrender? Will you give up? And will you keep giving up? If so, then God's grace will be measured to you. You'll be justified. How many of you ever have you heard about reconciling your bank account? How many of you have heard about it? I'm not saying you do it, but you've heard about it, the concept. And if it's out of balance, it needs to be reconciled. But when it's done, everything is justified. You can say, this is why it happened. And when Jesus died on the cross, He justified us. And He brought His righteousness into our account. And He reconciled us with God. To where when God looks at our account, He sees only His Son. And what His Son did. And there's nothing to keep Him from loving us even more, which He does. Bow your heads with me, will you? And the worship team's going to come forward. And Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your great grace. And I pray, Lord, that You truly would set us free today. God, that we would be able to walk in a new freedom in You. We wouldn't be caught up in the law of sin and death, but we would be set free to receive not only forgiveness of sins, but the righteousness of God. Lord, I pray that we would be able to examine our lives and see those areas that we're trying to control, those places where we've thwarted the grace of God, we've set aside the grace of God because we're trying to control it. And Lord, I pray in Your name that we will give them over to You. That we will give complete control over our lives, over our families, over our businesses, over our finances. Lord, that Your grace might shine firm. And Lord, I know it's hard sometimes for us to give You control. But Lord, I pray that we would humble ourselves enough to recognize the joy in that. In Your name, I pray. Today, as we close this time together, we're going to be worshiping God with a song called Surrender. just want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit today in a way that might be very, very practical. And I don't know if maybe you can find a piece of paper around you and or tear off part of the bulletin or find an offering envelope or something like that. But as we're worshiping God with this, why don't you jot down what it is specifically that you need to surrender over to the Lord? You know, if it's a family situation, maybe write that down. If it's your business. And in fact, why don't you make it out as kind of a contract? You know, I had a doctor in a church I pastored, and he actually took the back of the bulletin one time and wrote out a prescription for me, and it worked. I took it, and because it's a legal contract on the back of a bulletin, right? So that was kind of cool. So maybe you'll just take this statement, and just in a contract between you and the Lord, you'll say, "Lord, I surrender," and then what it is or who it is to you, and date it. Say on this date, today's the 10th, right? November 10th, 2013. I give this to you, and I receive your grace in lieu of my strife. And then sign it. And as you do that, and as we're worshiping, maybe you just come and just lay that on the front row or on the platform, kind of as an altar, and let's just take some time and surrender to God, and then just worship Him and just receive the grace that He offers instead of your strife.
Postman.